and welcome to the Playlist and Plotlines podcast. If you're new here, I'm Allie.
I'm Ari. I'm just in a jolly old mood today, guys. I'm back home. And I'm in a cute outfit because I was at my grandpa's and I saw my cousins. So life is great. Guys, also quick life update. My 9-year-old cousin is taller than me. So that's my life right now.
I guess my life update would be that my birthday was this week, which we talked about last
week. It
was! And I graduated this week.
You did. It was a very busy week for me. It was like kind of busy for me because I had finals, but also like it wasn't insane. What was insane was moving out on Friday. That was a really long day for me, but besides for that, it hasn't been too bad at least. But yeah, so I am now set up in my mom's glorious office. So that is the current situation.
Well, I'm very excited for this episode. So because we have lots of finales to talk about this week.
We do. So
it is time to get into it. Huh?
I said then we should just get into it.
Okay. Well, obviously, also, I know. We'll talk about this later, because Renee Rapp came out with new music this week, and I forgot the name of what it's going to be called and what date, but I know it's happening, so I'm going to let you take that one, because I'm a fake fan. I forgot everything about it.
Do you want me to do it right
now? I do know what's happening. I guess, let's do it right now, and then we can get into it.
So, actually, I don't remember the name of the song, but I believe the album, I think it's like... I don't know. I'm also a fake fan in terms of the song name, even though I've heard the snippet like literally 8,000 times. But I believe it's going to be called Bite Me. And I believe the song is out Tuesday. Yes.
Next week.
Also like this week. So like 2 days, I think. And well, tomorrow will be one day when this episode is released. And also, tour announcement coming soon. Renee, I beg of you, make me, put me on the VIP list, queen. I have been a fan since 2020. Please.
Can I come too?
Yeah, of course. Of course you can. I ain't letting you not go see Renee.
Okay. I think it's time for us to get into it. I already said that, but it is time.
We had our Renee slide class. It's okay.
Today is... what is happening to me? Okay, we gotta get into police time. We gotta get...
We do.
Okay. If you're new here, police time is where we put whoever made us mad this week into jail. And if you're watching on video, which I haven't uploaded any of these podcasts onto video yet, but when you do, this is our jail cell. So, let's start out with you, Ari. Who is your pick for the jail cell for the rookie this week?
Okay, I was thinking about this in the car earlier on the way to my grandpa's. Because nobody necessarily pissed me off, but I'm going to have to put Oscar. No, I'm putting Monica. I know she was barely in the episode until the last 5 seconds, but I am putting that woman in there because she is the reason for everything. Like, at this point, I could probably find a way to blame her for the Chenford breakup. She's literally responsible for every bad thing that has happened in the last, two seasons. So.
That's me and Tim Mine here. Okay, so. Oh, my gosh. Monica. Fun fact, Monica, apparently the woman that plays Monica, is also the same woman that plays Sinestro on Jane the Virgin.
Yes.
And the woman that killed Bobby Nash. So
yes, part of the reason I also don't like her, because I feel that she is responsible for your grief. So,
okay, my pick, once again, is going to be Tim Minear. And I'll get into this later, but I can't believe I'm even going to say this. And, like, I'm not even that mad at them, but I feel like they just need to go to timeout. Timeout.
Yeah.
Oliver Stark and Ryan Guzman, you guys need to go to timeout now. But, stay there for 5 minutes. But, because they didn't necessarily do anything wrong. But, well, I mean, they kind of, it's a long story. We'll get into it later. But, okay. And then for Grey's Anatomy, obviously, we're just going to do Owen Hunt again.
Always Owen. Right? Always Owen. I don't care. I don't care who else did anything wrong.
Owen Hunt and Dylan's mom. I was so mad at her. I don't even remember her name. So we're
yes. Right. I think it's like, I don't remember what it is. But yeah, we can put Dylan's mom in there too.
Dylan's mom. Okay. Our jail cell is done for the day. Okay. Let's get into the recap. Let's start out with Grey's Anatomy first. It was a wild ride, as Kim Raver said.
Bro, the emotions that were displayed in our text messages throughout the episode. Because I was thinking everything was going to be good, and then you were like, it's not over. I'm suspicious. And I was like, okay, wait, hey, she's on something?
I called it. I'm sorry. I manifested it. I put it in the world, guys. I'll take the L for the team. I literally said, the mom goes, the bomb is empty. The bomb is empty. And I looked, I was like, oh, this can't be it. Like, this can't be it.
Yeah,
and
this
so
is
I
not
clicked.
Over.
I clicked on my TV to see how, because it was my birthday when this came out. So I was at, so mine was recorded because I had to start watching. No, I watched it live, but I clicked on my TV to see how much time was left in the episode. And we still had like 6 minutes. And I was like, oh no.
Knowing Grey's, that's when the drama happens, the last like 6 minutes.
So
it's not calm.
Which it did.
Where do we want to start with that episode?
Well,
do we just want to keep signature. Talking about the bomb?
I mean, there's not much to say about it. The woman was psychotic. I mean, makes no sense.
I mean, true.
Her strategy to get these doctors scared was severely flawed, because you're telling me that she thought it was empty. So that's the first thing that was dumb. Like, she couldn't even check the
just
gauge.
Dumb.
Like, and then it's not that hard. I work with helium tanks at my job. The gauge is very easy to read. Like, it's not. I know that wasn't helium, but, like, it was in, like, an oxygen helium, some sort of gas tank. So, like,
mm-hmm.
It could not
yeah.
have been that hard to read. And the fact that she was gonna, even with the slightest chance that it could be, not empty, she decided she was gonna put it where her daughter was. And the whole reason why she was going in there was to save her daughter. So,
okay, here's my thing. It does not. And truly, I don't. Okay, I get it. It's like psychoticness and it's like a mother's grief. But, okay. First of all, why would you want the doctors working on your child to be under extra pressure? I don't get that. Number two.
Yeah, I don't either.
Number two. She was not smart enough to make sure Amelia had the right equipment or the right team. to do this before she pulled out the damn bomb.
I was talking to my mom.
Mm-hmm. What were you talking to your mom about?
I was talking to my mom about this the day after, because we were going to breakfast. And I was like, I told her that, like, Amelia, like, didn't even have her neuromonitoring. And my mom's like, why didn't she have her neuromonitoring? I was like, the mom was stupid. And she was like, Amelia literally said, I need my neuromon. And she ended up not. Like, she's a queen. She was able to do what she needed to do. But still.
Yeah, I was also talking to my mom about it. And I was like, Monica literally said, like, is this a good time to mention she does not have, like, her neuromonitoring? And, like, if, like, I don't know, I would want, like, let's say my child was to get, like, deathly ill the way Dylan is and, like, need a bunch of care. I would never be putting, like, obviously at a certain point you need to hold your child's doctors accountable. But honestly, Amelia did nothing wrong. She was able to help Dylan. But, like, you needed to give her the time to be able to help her. Like, I don't know.
What really pisses me off is, like, before that surgery, they all, Lucas, Simone, Monica, Amelia, they all were in that meeting during rounds with the parents before the surgery. And they were like, this is a risky surgery. This is a risky surgery.
Literally. And yet, is Milo coming in there?
He's trying to get in. He's not coming in. Because he's just going to walk right back out.
But, like, yeah, they literally were like, hey, it's risky. And the parents were like, oh, we're chill with that. And then a complication happens, and they're like, oh, we didn't sign up for this. Like, you did,
actually. Oh, my gosh. A risky surgery has a complication. What? Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
Like, in other news... Oh, wait. Oh, you can keep going.
You can do the honors. You can do the honors.
In other news, Joe and Link are having girls.
Oh, that's not what I thought you were going to say, but that is. That is news. That is. I'm excited that Joe is going to be a girl mom.
Me too.
Crew and fru.
Actually, okay. A little bit more on the bomb storyline. Also, okay, what is happening with that bomb squad that they did not remove the tank, like, immediately, whether it was empty or whether it was not?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I didn't even think about that, but, like, that is a good point. Like, you should not be taking the word of someone you're literally arresting. Yeah, it's empty.
Literally, like, and I was thinking about that, like, you can, a woman like that can easily claim that is empty so that, like, at the time, maybe she gets, like, less charges put on her. And, like, you know, I don't know. Like, it did not seem smart that they didn't check. And, like, the fact that now... I was gonna wait to tell Allie this, but I told her, like, we FaceTimed right before, and she was like, I was, like, telling her, like, oh, I have, did you see the article? And she's like, no. And I was like, well, then I'm gonna wait to tell you.
Wait, okay, like, no, didn't know what you were talking about at first, because I didn't know it was an article, but I did see something saying that, like, I did see something about it, and I realized that after you said that.
But according to a writer, the only two right now that are safe are the two we saw outside of the hospital. So Ben and Meredith. And I'm scared because, well, okay. I am so scared because I don't know who they would kill off. Like, I generally don't know. Like, I know we said, like, an intern, and I can see that.
Sorry,
but,
guys.
Like, I'm scared. What if they decide to be random and kill off a main character?
Am I, like, really loud?
No, you're fine.
Okay. Anyways, what was I saying? I wasn't saying anything, but
yeah, like I'm scared. Like what?
I've been trying to think through this logically. So here, I'm gonna think through this logically. The mom said it could blow up like a half a job site or like a whole job site. Well, like that hospital is huge. They have a clinic. They have multiple offices off the side of the building. Like there's, I don't think, especially, I mean, it could easily, but like in the bomb in like season two, it only blew up the floor that the OR was on. Like they weren't evacuating any, the bomb squad wasn't evacuating anyone else that wasn't on the bomb floor. So like, you gotta think through it logically. Like, Joe wasn't on the floor with the bomb. She was outside.
Mm-hmm. Amelia?
They were on the terrace. She was in the room with Dylan's dad.
Yeah.
And, like, Monica... when we watched the clip of Lucas running over to the OR, it seemed like a really long run.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think they would kill Amelia. I don't.
I think the only people that are in, like, immediate danger right now are Link and Weber, because they're both in danger.
Okay.
Maybe Jules. I hate to say that, but, like...
My baby!
Because I do know that Jules is working... Jules is working with Weber, but like I'm not saying that's gonna happen. Like, I don't have any wood.
If they kill her, ooh, I'm gonna be. Speaking of Jules.
Oh, Jules and Weber are doing a partnership now, which is amazing. She's still in her feels for Winston, which, like, I just need her to, like, not be. But
girl, move on.
Luckily, Winston is there to, like, you know, not do anything. Like, I'm thankful he's not doing anything right now.
No, I am too. I appreciate the way he's behaving. Like, I don't know. I'm glad that it's, like, fine. Like, that he's just being like, okay, we're not doing anything. Because, like, thank you, Kang. Like, that's what was needed.
Okay. So, what else should we say about this episode? There's not... Besides the bomb, not a lot happened.
Teddy and Owen are getting divorced.
Oh, yes! Oh, yes! How could we forget? That was the best part of the episode.
No, and that's what pissed me off when she said, oh, nobody is safe. I was like, do not hurt Teddy when she is finally standing her ground. Because, okay.
Kill Owen Hunt. Kill Owen Hunt off. Kill Owen Hunt
literally,
off.
Literally, I love you, Kevin. Off. We love you, Kevin. But...
Make him a director if he liked Kevin McKidd so much.
Yes! Like, put him somewhere else. Do not... And, like, I don't know. Like, do not hurt Teddy. She's finally... And, like, oh, my God. Okay, sorry. I was deep diving with my mom about this episode. Like, I was talking to her about it because, like, she has some Grey's knowledge. Because I just talked to her about it and also she watched it. And so, like, being home, I'll just yap to her. And, I was in the kitchen with her and my dad, and I was talking about, like, when Teddy was like, do you love her? And Owen was like, I'm married to you. And my parents were both like, that is an insane thing to say. Like, genuinely, what do you mean? Like... Yeah, but, like, you didn't answer the question, King. Like, Thank you, Teddy.
Like, your it's so funny right now because your audio sounds so good, but your video, it looks like you're a robot.
I was trying to get my webcam to work, and like as I was trying, it just wasn't working. So I just said, screw it. I will fix it for next week.
Oh, it's fairly entertaining. It's very entertaining. It's fine.
You know what? At least this week, my audio is working perfectly, and my computer.
Unlike last week.
Yeah, and I'm able to charge my computer. Everything is peachy keen, besides for the video. But that is okay.
Okay.
We'll figure it out for next week.
What was I gonna say? So I was thinking, instead of doing a whole separate segment, how about we just talk about our predictions for each show for next season as we talk about the...
That is a genius, genius idea. I love that idea.
Also, my cousin, shout out Elizabeth, came to my grad party, and she is also a big 911 fan, so I have several, like... And I don't even know if it's, like, a predict... It's not as much, like, mine are more, like, predictions, but... I would say hers are more like halfway predictions, wish list. So is mine. So, like, it's mainly things mm-hmm. we want, not predictions. But a few of them, like, are predictions. But that said, I just wanted to give you a heads up that I'm going to be reading some of hers because they're really good. But can I go first for my prediction for Grey's Anatomy? I have one.
Absolutely.
My main prediction for season 22 is that the premiere, they're going to pull a Bailey and Tuck situation, and they're gonna be going to tell Joe that Link is in the OR, but as soon as they she's on the OB floor, like she just finished with a patient, and she's out in the hallway, and Lucas or someone, one of the interns, is running up to her, and as she turns around after they get her attention, her water breaks. But like, I don't think they would do the same. That they would be, like, not tell her like they did Bailey, because all the interns are scared of Wilson. Like, no one works with Wilson. Like, have you noticed that no one works with Joe?
Bro, okay, she is giving Bailey Meredith.
The funny thing is that, like, we've seen when, like, Addison and Karina are on the show, they have interns. Like, they still use interns quite a bit.
Yeah. Addison loves to use some interns, which as she should, because
Karina used the interns too. Like, Levi helped her quite a few times. Helm helped her quite a few times. Like,
yeah,
they use interns, but I just think it's so funny that like they're like they never really have really worked with Joe anymore since she was in general. And it's so funny. I could just picture poor Lucas running up to her and going, Wilson, and she turns around, and Addison turns around, she goes, oh, she like pulls a Amelia Shepherd.
My water just broke.
Yeah, my water just broke. It would be so funny. So my main prediction. That. I could see Cass coming back in some sort of way. Because Sophia's mentioned her, like, willing to come back. Not saying it's going to happen, but, like, I could see it. I could see Cass coming back. I would honestly, like, I like Teddy and Cass, but I would honestly like to see something play out with Cass and Amelia.
Okay. Actually, I'm liking this. Could we? Okay.
Because if her and Monica work out, which it's been so long at this point, like, I really don't, like, have much confidence for Monica and Amelia anymore. Like, not saying I don't ship them. Like, I do. Ari knows this. I do ship Mon Amelia. I've been severely let down by all of the queer relationships on Grey's Anatomy that I don't have much faith in them.
I have to. Okay. In a dream world, in an Ari's dream world, Cass would come back and she and Amelia would have like a thing. And Monica would get jealous and that would cause like feelings to be revealed.
Oh, love triangle situation.
Yes. And I don't know. I could see Amelia using somebody to try to get over her feelings for Monica, because I feel like that's like something Amelia does. Like I could see her, I don't know. Like, I just think with Amelia and Monica, like, I have so much hope for them. Like, they're so soulmate coded, and like, I know that, like, I agree with you though, because like, I've been let down by the Grays, like, queer relationships since Calzona. Like, we have not.
We'll talk a lot about queer baiting this episode. So
yes, but we'll talk about that later. Happy? Can we be happy? Because they'll give us stuff, and then they'll pull it away, and like. One other show I've watched has done this with queer ships, and it pissed me off then, too. So, like, Legacies did it with Hope and Josie, where it was like, okay, they liked each other, and, like, clearly there's something, but then they never gave us it, and it pissed me off, because I was like, it makes no sense why you're giving us these crumbs and then pulling back. Like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh, my rubber band just snapped.
Bro. But yeah, like, I'm just so done with.
Yeah, I am too. But I have to say, that's really my only prediction for Grey's Anatomy, is that some, the Joe thing, and then maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Cass. And I just say that because Grace is so unpredictable that it's really hard to make predictions for that show.
Okay, yes. They are also pretty secretive. They don't like to reveal much.
And 911 is the complete opposite. They leak everything.
The rookie, there is very, from what I've noticed, it's also very leaky, because we've already been getting stuff mildly about the season 8 plot, and like, it's barely been written. Like, I don't think much writing has been going on. So
okay,
like, I don't know, what else is there to talk about Grays before we do your 911?
I can't think of anything to add. Do you have anything to add?
Let me just like run through the storylines in my head. Yeah, I don't think there's... Did we miss anything?
I don't think so. There wasn't... I missed something last week. I completely forgot. I didn't even have it in my notes. But,
Karen... Oh, I have a... Sorry, I also have a prediction after
you. I'll talk about it when I'm in... During 911. I'll talk about it when I talk about 911. But...
What were you going to say? Sorry, I have one last Grace prediction. I think something is going to happen. I know this is, like, basic, like, duh. But, like, Simone and Lucas, I think Lucas is going to figure out she hooked up with somebody.
Wait, I completely forgot. Something huge happened in the last, like, 30 seconds of that episode with Simone. Her ex is going to meet, like, an intern or something at the hospital.
Yeah, it's gonna be drama. I think it's gonna be a rocky road for them next season.
Also, I just can't believe that Lucas was trying to get back with her. I'm so done with Simone now.
I love him, my king. But, like, here's what we're not gonna do. We're not gonna have a traumatic experience and then be like, actually, I don't want to be broken up with you. Like, girl, settle down. Like, take a minute. Take a deep breath.
That's some 911 crap.
Right. Like, ugh. I think it's 911 time now.
It is 911 time. Okay. Oh, golly. I feel like I've had this reaction to 911 time, like, for this whole month. first word I'm gonna say, just mixed opinions about this on TikTok right now. I have to say, the first word I'm gonna say is queerbait. Like, okay. And, like, I have thought deeply about this because I truly do love the cast of 911. And, like, they are celebrities. We don't know what happens in their real life and, like, how they are off camera. But from what I've known, they're great people. I mean, Oliver, you know, he adopts dogs. And, like, they're all pretty low-key, like. You know, but so this week, if you didn't know, Oliver and Ryan had a huge press tour, and I don't know if this was just because they were in New York or because they were in New York for the Disney upfronts. Oh, we can talk about the Disney upfronts later.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just because they were in New York and a lot of the places that do press like that are in that area or... Except BuzzFeed. I know BuzzFeed's in LA. But, like, I know E.T. I don't know if it was just because of that or they're trying to get more viewers again since Bobby died. But so they did an Entertainment Tonight interview called Spilling the Tea. And apparently that's for TV couples and, like, real life couples. Did not know about that, but so that was the first thing. And then they did first tweets. Now first tweets, I'm not gonna count that as queer baiting because yes, a lot of those were about Buddy, but when that's like their biggest role that they've done, it makes sense that the majority of those are gonna be about,
yeah, 9-1-1. Okay doing an interview, so I'll
give them a break about first tweets. E.T., they came up with the question, so, like, I'm not really blaming Oliver and Ryan, but they were being goofy silly, and, like... Oliver always says that he just works there, and I firmly believe that they weren't intentionally hurting people, and I saw something on TikTok about this, that this girl, I'll love her, love them. Sorry, I don't remember your pronouns off the top of your head, so I'm just gonna say love them. Lesbian Eddie Diaz on TikTok. Love you. They do this thing called advocacy through 911, where they talk about like real world issues, but going. Mm-hmm. Through 911, and this week they did a big video about queerbaiting and like the harm in that, and they said that they don't think that Oliver and Ryan were intentionally not, that they knew they were doing something, they knew that they were messing with us, like they knew they were up to something. I'm not going to give them off of 100%, like, you're fine, pass.
Yeah.
They knew they were doing something, but as they said in their video, that Ryan and Oliver are both straight. Like, they can't, and I'm also straight, so, like, You'll probably have to put your perspective in this, but
yes, I have. I have quite the perspective.
Anyone that is straight can't fully understand like the damage that something like queerbaiting can do.
Yeah,
and so I think they probably just thought that they were just messing around with everyone. Like, I don't think
so. Okay. So first of all, I really appreciate you saying that. Like, people who aren't straight, I mean, who are straight, can't fully comprehend queerbaiting, because like that is absolutely true. Like, obviously,
like I'm not gonna lie, I did
point it out. Well, you can go.
I would like to say that I am a very big ally and I know a lot about the LGBTQ plus community, but obviously I have gaps as not fully being a part of that community. And I had heard the word queerbait for like months now, being on 911 TikTok. I didn't even really understand like what it was. Like, I figured it was like people were mad that Buddy wasn't going canon and that they were trying to use that for promotion. Like, I got that from context clues. But I didn't know the full like definition until Lesbian Eddie Diaz made that video. And they read the definition from the dictionary, and literally every sentence matched what Tim Minear made them do this week.
Yes. And, like, okay. So,
and again, first of all, Ryan and no hate to Ryan and Oliver. Ryan and Oliver, as Oliver always says, just work there. So, they obviously were asked to go do this stuff.
I think that a lot of the time, the people, the actors that are asked to do stuff for queerbaiting, they don't fully understand, because, like, okay, so when Pitch Perfect 3 came out, I was not in the Pitch Perfect fandom. Sorry, I had to bring this up. But the actress who played Becca and Chloe, those two were asked to do more queer bait than they. I'm sorry, but it's true. And like,
I thought you were gonna talk about Grey's Anatomy. I was not
expecting. Oh no, I ain't talking about. Okay, don't get me wrong. Grey's Anatomy has also queer baited, but a lot of the time when I preach about Grey's, is they will at least give you a kiss or a confession. A lot of the time, unfortunately, the ships I like. I was actually talking to this. I was talking about Pitch Perfect with Dez earlier this week. Weekly Dez shout out. We love you, Dez.
Shout out, Dez. We love you.
But I was saying that Pitch, like, the promo around that movie was insane. And also, I said this to Allie before the pod. I am a victim of Supercorp queerbaiting. And Kara and Lena from Supergirl.
Is that Supergirl?
Yes. Those two,
I haven't watched Supergirl,
I'm telling you, Allie, it was as okay, at least in my like 16-year-old, 17-year-old brain, that was my buddy. Okay? Because those two did the same shit Buddy did. Where it's like, okay,
does currently
where it's like, come on. And the last goddamn episode, we thought we were getting something, but instead little Miss Lena Luthor walks up to Kara, and like Kara is literally like, they have a whole breakdown, and then Kara is just like, you're the best friend I've ever had. And I'm like,
oh, that's cute though.
I mean, it was really cute, but I was like, oh, for goodness sakes. Like, y'all look like you're about to kiss. Like, same thing with Becca and Chloe. Like, so as someone who currently, I don't watch a lot besides for Grey's and The Rookie.
And like, some movies.
And the rookie? I said Grey's, The Rookie.
Oh, I didn't hear you say it. Sorry.
and some, you're fine, and some movies. So, like, queer baiting is less on my mind. But as a freshly 16, 17 year old who was, you know, coming out, being in her first relationship, all that kind of stuff, it was so detrimental and it bothered me so much. If, like, I privated all my old TikTok stuff because it's embarrassing, but I can show y'all the evidence that, like, how bad queer baiting is for a 16-year-old / 17-year-old's brain. Because, like, I was crashing out on the weekly. I was going insane. And, like, bet your bottom dollar that if Pitch Perfect comes out with Pitch Perfect 4, I will be hoping that Becca and Chloe get together the same, this, like, I will be having the same delusions. I will be reverted back to that place that, like, 16 or 17-year-old me was when I thought I was going to get some representation, and instead I got a grainy footage of a kiss that was between the actresses because they're silly, goofy, funny. Like, and, like, I love them, but, like, that is, if you know the actresses, that is their personality. That was them joking around. That was not them giving them, that was not, like, okay, they did not give us, that was, but anyways, that's my take on queer baiting. Yeah.
I will say, I know it's bad. I know it's bad, but I really don't want to get canceled. Is it okay if I could say that, like, even though it was queerbaiting, and I don't really put a lot of fun on, like, fault on Ryan and Oliver. I honestly love the promo stuff they did. Like, I didn't have an issue.
Okay, that's the thing, is sometimes it's good. I love, don't get me wrong, like, queer, like, when you're in that kind of situation, any content, whether it's on the show or off show, that you get is, like, gold. Because it's, like,
yeah,
more stuff to give to edits, more stuff to use as, like, it's gold. So, absolutely, you are not wrong for saying that you still liked that promo, because that's, like, what it's designed to do. Like, obviously, you're gonna like it. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, my favorite form of press this week, I'm just going to give a shout out to this because it was absolutely hilarious. So Oliver, which, you know, everyone knows who Oliver is because I talk about him so much. Oliver and Aisha. Aisha is who plays Hen or Henrietta on the show.
Okay.
Went on a, like, radio show podcast situation earlier this week. And it's, like, three sisters. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But two of them are, like, huge 911 fans. And they they decided to dry read their favorite scene of Buddy. And it was the want to go for the title scene. And at the very end of it, Oliver's dying the whole way through. Because they know what they're going to point out. He knows what they're going to point out. Like, him and Aisha are both just, like, dying in the microphones. It's great. It's hilarious. And at the very end of it, Oliver goes, yeah, that was super gay. And it was so funny. It made me laugh so hard.
We love a self-call-out.
Okay. Let's get into the episode. Oh, before I get into this episode, I did forget to talk about last week that Karen, Hen's wife on the show, had a really beautiful scene with Athena where she came to their new house and gave him this picture, this picture from when Karen and Henry, like, renewed their vows a couple seasons ago. And it was just so cute. I forgot to talk about that, but it was really cute.
Okay,
let's recap this episode.
Yes.
Oh, because it was whirlwind. And a lot of people hated this episode, mainly because Buddy didn't go canon, and they felt like the queer baiting. A lot of people were mad about that Buddy didn't go canon. And, like, obviously I wanted Buddy to go canon, but there was also lots of good things about this episode that, like, people need to not only focus on that. And I think that's really hard for people to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so this episode starts out with basically this old footage from last week explaining what happened with the building collapse and, like, catching everyone back up to that. And then we shoot to the firehouse, and they're having a goodbye party for Eddie.
Stop.
And I got so sad. I got so sad. They were having a goodbye party for Eddie. And my favorite moment from that scene, they gave Eddie his turnouts because it was his last shift. His last time at the meeting with the LAPD. And he put his hat on Christopher.
Stop. That's so cute.
Okay. Anyways, so they're all talking, and they're talking about how Gerard is leaving. Thank goodness. Their captain right now is leaving because there is a show being shot in LA, and it's been there for, like, this whole season. It's called Hot Shots. It's kind of like 911. It's like a firefighter show in the show.
Bro, I love when they do that. I love when they do that.
So, Bobby, earlier this season when he was on, like, he was, like, on leave, or he, like, wanted to leave his captainship, he was, like, the fire, like, controller person that, like, made it more realistic. So, Gerard has also been helping them with this, and now that they're back in season, he's going back to help them film. And they all thought that Hen was going to take, like, the seat once he left, and she, like, revealed that she wasn't. And then Buck was like, it's okay, Hen, like, you need to do what's best for you. And everyone was kind of, like, looking at him, like, he really just say that? Because that's very unlike Buck. Like, Buck takes anyone leaving very personally. Like, we talked about it last week with that 97 Trials and Tribulations of Evan Buckley, a tragedy.
Yeah.
The Trials and Tribulations of Evan Buckley. I can't. You guys know what I'm talking about. I can't talk today. Eddie was like, so you're just going to leave it at that? Like, you're just going to be okay with it? And he was like, well, like, yeah, because I put it in a transfer. And everyone was jaw-dropped. They were all like. And Eddie's face. Oh, let me see if I can find a picture. I'll find a picture real quick. Because I sent a picture to Ari of Eddie's face when he said that. I just need to talk about this for a second.
Bro.
Oh, we talk so much. Okay. Okay. I found it. Let's see.
Bro, he looks so sad.
Okay. Poor kid. That happened. So that happens, and, like, everyone's shocked, but, like, Buck, he's threatened to leave so many times. Like, I'm going to be so honest. Like, no one, like, everyone's sad, but, like, he literally sued the department in season 2, season 3, and, like, ended up dropping the charges. Like, never, like, he's always trying to be a big dog. I'm going to have to say that. Like, I love him, but that's the truth. Anyways, so that's where that scene ends, and then they go to the rubble accident. They get called into the rubble accident, and they're all there, and they're all going in, and we see that Athena's working for, like, already there working with people in the laundry room, and they're up top saving some people, you know, just doing the thing, doing their great thing, mm-hmm. and help someone with a broken face. It's pretty crazy. And then they tell this girl runs out when they get back down from that, and she's like, I need help, like, my boyfriend, the guy, Jimmy Gibbler, from last week, she was like, the police lady told me to come get you, like, and he was like, the police lady, and she was like, yeah, I think her name was Sergeant Grant. And they were all like, we need to get down there. If Athena's telling us we need to get down there, we need to get down there. So he's like, I can go. And Hen's like, are you sure, bro? Like, you guys were just in a fight, like, last week. So then, he goes and, you know, helps Athena, and then it's really funny, but he helps Athena, and they're like, you know, being fine, being friendly, and then it jumps to what Buck and Robbie are doing, and Buck and Robbie are up on the, like, closer to the top of the thing, and they're helping this guy, and Maddie gets in contact with this guy's ex-wife somehow, and they, like, find out what his name is, and they, like, go and help him. And Buck, they can't get to him. They're on top of an China cabinet situation. And so Buck opens the doors and punches the middle, and Robbie goes, that's really how we're gonna do it? And he goes, yeah, we're gonna go through Narnia or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, Buck. You're such a nerd. And then, so they start walking out, and then the building collapses a little bit more. But we didn't, that, and they're kind of more stuck. And it's like, oh no, they're stuck. Oh no, Eddie's gonna have to come save them. I was so scared. But it shoots back down to Chim and Athena, and Chim and Athena are down there, and their exit gets taken away, and Athena's like, Chim, that was our way out, and he goes, ah, dang,
bro.
And it's so funny. Oh, also, Cart Cop from a couple of seasons ago, the one that apparently was stealing the laundry, almost dies, and that was super sad. He's alive. Graham is alive. Everything's fine.
You were showing me a clip of that. That was so sad. I was so scared for him.
Cart Cop is alive. Everything's fine.
Cart Cop is alive. I'm so glad he's safe.
Okay, anyways, so then that was at the very end of the episode when they say Cart Cop. I'm jumping around, but after Athena and Chim get stuck, it shoots to Eddie at his apartment with Chris and his Tia Peppa. And Tia Peppa's like, I can't believe you're going back to El Paso. Like, Ramon stole my mom, his abuelita, and now you've, like, this is not okay. Like, this is Tia Peppa's mom, not Eddie's mom. And, like, she's like, this is not okay. And so then Chris is a real one. We all need to give a shout out to Christopher Diaz. He saves the day. So then he's watching the news. And he calls Eddie over, and he's like, Dad, look at this. And Eddie sees it on the TV, and he sees that it's the 118. And so he decides to, you know, take his turn out and show up on the scene. And, like, he literally walks in like a superhero. He's like, not today. Like, he literally says something like that. And then Gerard's like, what the heck are you doing here? And he's like, oh, it looks like you guys need some extra hands. So then Eddie, as Buck is getting more trapped upstairs, Eddie hops up onto the roof of the other building from the other side of the street. And he gets on the radio with Buck as it collapses even more. And, like, Buck's real stuck at this point. And he's like, but Eddie's on the radio. And they're like, Eddie? Like, Buck and Robbie are like, Eddie, what are you doing? And he's like, I had some FOMO. So then he uses this cool, like, line gun to make a zip line. Really cool. But I was upset that Buck got stuck out of the Unstuck from the Rubble. I really thought they were going to have some romance in the rubble. But Buck's face when he comes out is so cutie. Okay, so then that happens. And then they get Athena and Chim out. And Cart Cop saved. Everyone's saved. And they get back to the station. And Gerard's like, there was no casualties, which realism, 19-story collapse and no casualties, that's not realistic.
But, yeah, that's not, that's, yeah.
But it's so funny because right after Gerard stops talking, Chim looks over and Eddie's on his phone, supposedly looking at flights to get back to El Paso because he has to be there in like 7 in the morning. And he hadn't gotten a flight yet. Like, I don't understand.
Yes, why wasn't he thinking of this? Why wasn't, bro, why didn't, if he was so dead set on going.
That, or he, like, missed his flight, they missed their flight or something like that. I don't really know.
When you showed me that, that's what I assumed. I thought that maybe he missed, but he did not seem like almost, like, from what you described, it doesn't seem like he and Chris were, like, prepping to like go like soon when he got called to deal with
like the rubble. He had his duffel bag or, like, ready but like that rubble. Was about it like, yeah he had his duffel bag ready but that was about it. But anyways, Chim steals his phone and then Chim has this huge speech about like how we're the 118, it would be disgraceful to Bobby if like we just left everything he's built, like, and it was super sweet. So that's towards the end of the episode, and things kind of calm down, and then it shoots to Hit and Run at the courthouse. This is like the last 5 minutes. It shoots to Hit and Run at the courthouse. It shoots to Buck looking at apartments. That was the first thing that happened. Which, why are we moving out of Eddie's house?
That's so sad.
Not okay. Why are we moving out of Eddie's house? And then it shows Eddie, like, officially moving back in. And he's like, Chris, you want to go get lunch before we're done unpacking? And he's like, oh, no, I want to go to a party. Which, typical Chris, he never wants to be home. And then it shoots to Henrin adopting their daughter, which was cute. And then kind of out of the blue. And then Athena selling her house. That happened in that last couple of minutes, which is really sad, selling the house that they're rebuilding. And then, okay, this is like the last 2 minutes of the episode where I'm at right now. And it shoots to Athena just walking through a building. And it looks eerily similar to the lab. So I thought we were going to see Bobby pop up. I got so excited. And unfortunately, Bobby did not pop up. But they were at the hospital because Madney had their baby. Aww. But the baby's name, I wrote it on the whiteboard with a question mark. The baby's name is Robert Nash Hahn. What?
That's so cute.
It's cute? But they had so many better options. Because there's so many dead people in their life. You know, we got Maddie and Buck's brother. Or...
Okay, Robert. Chimney's- okay. Robert.
Or... Chimney. No, I wanted them to name Bobby for Bobby and name him after Bobby in some way. But they could have done Kevin Robert, Daniel Robert, Robert Daniel, Robert Kevin. No, or Robert Wade Hahn, which is Bobby's middle name. Like, they could have had so many other options.
Yeah,
The episode ends with Athena going, "Hello, Bobby," and that was super sweet. But
that was cute. I saw that clip. I think you
should. Okay, I'm gonna quickly go through my predictions because we're
absolutely
an hour.
Do that.
Okay. My main prediction is Bobby is in a government lab. I'm still Bobby Alive Maxing until this series is over. And then another point I thought about yesterday is I don't think Buck will be able to find a new place due to his bad credit. Because earlier in the season, when he fakes having applied to his to Eddie's house, he said, "You're gonna have to look past my credit." And that's been a storyline. Like, he's always had bad credit. So, and the places he was looking at in that, clip of him looking, they were way too nice. Like, oh.
Yeah.
He also said that the 118 was just a number. I forgot about that. He said the 118 was just a number now, when he said he was pulling in for a transfer. And then he said that the house just wasn't his. He was just renting. Bro, what? Bro, what?
Okay, that is classic deflection. Like, him being like, oh, it's just a number. Oh, it wasn't really my house. Like, King, that both of those things mean so much to you. Just admit it.
Okay, and then the next thing is I want Athena to be happy for once. No bad things. No getting trapped on airplanes or cruise ships. Or anytime she travels, she gets hurt in some way. So no traveling for her this season. Okay, I want Ravi to be his main in season 9. And I think Ravi is going to continue messing with Buddy's future by, he left Buck with Tommy, and that's why Buck slept with Tommy earlier this season again. And then, he told Buck about Eddie leaving. Like, he's just going to mess it up or be a third wheel over and over again. And it's going to be really funny. And I said it would be really, my cousin and I thought it would be really funny if Athena and Buck were roommates for one episode, because she hasn't been able to sell her house yet, and Buck, can't find a good place because of his credit. But, I think Athena would do anything in her power to not have that happen. So,
that would be really funny. She would be
sleeping on Hen's couch. I can call it now. I feel like Buck is somehow going to end back up at someone else's house. Maybe Maddie and Chimneys. I feel like that's probably what they're gonna do.
But yeah,
I don't think they're gonna have him. They're gonna not gonna. He's not gonna be able to move in a place. Like, his loft. Maybe a place like his loft. But he was looking at nice places. There's no way. There's no way. Okay. And then I said, if Buddy goes canon, which it should, Chris calls it out on accident, on purpose. I think he's going to talk to Buck about, Dad's just been, talking about this person for a long time. He won't tell me who it is, but, do you know anything about it, Buck? And Buck's going to be like, no, who? I'm surprised I don't know. And he's saying, who are you talking about? And he's going to bring it up to Eddie, and that's going to be funny. Okay. That's my only prediction. But my cousin Elizabeth had some really great predictions. I'm just reading these again, and it's really funny. Okay. That Gian has a kindergarten gang, which Gian is Maddie Chimney's daughter, which he's around that age, so that would be cute. Chris parent traps Buddy, Buck and Eddie. Somehow, I think that would be really funny. I could picture that happening.
I would love that.
I could actually see the right, even if it's not for them to get together, they get in a fight or something, I could definitely see the writers doing something
that. Yeah, that would be really cute.
Karen, Maddie, and Eddie become best friends, which I see that could actually, I feel like that's really, fitting. I've seen a lot of people have theories about this, they could have, weekly wine nights or whatever. Ravi has to babysit all of the kids, Chris. Well, Chris is 14 now. He doesn't technically need a babysitter, but, Eddie likes to leave him with someone just because of his mobility, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So, but Ravi has to watch everyone, and it turns out to be a disaster. Gian, the new baby.
Dog.
Chris, literally, Denny, Mara, all these kids. It would be really funny. I feel like you messed it up.
That would be funny.
Hen has to train a new paramedic, probably Eddie. Now, I kind of forgot that Eddie's not, like, an official paramedic, because he is definitely, he's, like, filled in for people, because he's an army medic, he was an army medic, but he's still just a firefighter. Like, I never really thought about that.
I could see him, yeah.
Buck has a crisis and gets a ton of tattoos to cope, which would be really easy for them to do, because Oliver has so many tattoos that they cover up, like, 60% of them. So, like, okay. And the last prediction is that Bobby, if Bobby is alive, which he is, Bobby and Athena retire, because Bobby's like, I'm done. Like, I'm not getting trapped in a government lab for months again. Like, we're not doing that again. So Bobby and Athena retire, and they become noisy neighborhood watchers.
I would love that. That would be really funny.
Okay. It is time for the rookie.
Yay! Okay. Okay, so this episode starts out with Lucy. I think it's her first yes, it is her first shift as sergeant. And she goes in, and, like, the watch commander for the night shift is, like, introducing her. And she goes, oh, like, she's going to be, like Sergeant Chen, she's going to be, like, this team's, like, lead or whatever. And the, like, one of these guys is like, oh, yay, yay, like, dream team. And Lucy's like, oh, my God, like, I'm so excited to work with you guys. Like, great. Like, they call themselves the dream team. And then she is doing her little sergeantly duties. She's responding to every call. And then she's like, oh, wait, I'm responding to every call. And so then she's like, looks, and like all of like the patrol cars, besides for hers, are in like one spot. And she's like, to like the dispatcher or whatever, she's like, hey, like, can you like do a check on like my team, because they've been in this one spot, like, can you see if they've, like, responded to any calls, right, like, that kind of stuff. And so he sends it to her, and it does not look like they have, so she drives over to where they are, and these dum-dums are sleeping. And she's like, oh, that's why they call you the dream team, because you sleep all shift. And so, great way to start out her sergeantry. So then she pulls up to her house, and Selena is there, and Selena's like, hey, Queen, like, how was it? And Lucy's like, I'm done with it already. So Lucy takes a bottle of wine, because she's just done. And she takes a bottle of wine. Oh, wait,
I saw this. And Selena was like, I saw this on TikTok. Selena was like, it's 8 a.m.
Like, she's, yeah, no, like, Selena goes, good morning. And Lucy goes, good morning for you. For me, it's 1 o'clock. So then she takes her wine and she goes, lays down on her bed. And she's, like, slouched down. She is me when I get back from school. Like, me when I get back from class. And Selena goes, hey, roomie question. And she goes, should I expect to see Tim here more often? And Lucy, like, gives her a look. And she's like, because, like, with Raj here, like, Selena's boyfriend, and we might run into some hot water issues. Chenford and their shower sex.
Selena and her boyfriend, we're gonna have shower sex too, so they're gonna run it.
Like, that's what it sounded like. Like, and that's what everyone's like, okay, because Chenford is freaky. Chenford loves a good shower moment, because there's this other scene of them talking about it. Like, Tim is like,
oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Oh, I'm going to see
when Tim goes to visit.
We're out of the shower.
When Tim
I'm so excited to see what Tim Bradford. I gotta be honest. I'm sorry. I, I can't wait to see what Tim Bradford.
When, okay, so like in season 5, when Isabel is gonna be there, so like they're having like their moment and they're just about to make out, like Tim is making pancakes, they're about to make out, and like Tamara like walks in between them, and like Tamara's like, make me pancakes to Tim, because that's her father. And then there's a knock on the door and Lucy immediately goes to go get it, and Tim goes, wait, I was gonna tell you this when you got out of the shower, but then I got in the shower, and then Tamara goes, ew, gross, and is like, I'll answer it. So, like, and also there's the other scene when Lucy is studying for the sergeant's exam, when he's like, no, detective's exam, and he's like, I need you to take a break. Like, he's trying everything to get her to take a break, and she's like, I'm not. And he goes, okay, I'm going to take a shower. And she goes, now? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, wait, maybe I can take a break. And then she, like, throws her book down on the couch and follows him. So yeah, Chenford, so I think Selena knows this has occurred, because I'm sure Lucy's a little gossipy and tells her about shit that went down. So, Lucy's like, are you assuming just because, like, I'm a sergeant now that me and Tim are going to get back together? And Selena's like, well, yeah, like, it's perfect. You're a sergeant. He's a sergeant. Problem solved. And Lucy goes, no, Lucy's like, no, there was more problems than that. And then it flashes to Tim and Angela. Tim is walking in the station. And he goes, what? No, she's like, we need to have an actual adult conversation. And then Tim is walking in and he goes, I want to have an actual adult conversation. There's just no time for us to have it. Like, when she's asleep, I'm awake. When I'm awake, she's awake, I'm asleep. And Angela goes, that's not true. You guys cross over at switch, like, shift changes. If you wanted to make the time, you could. And he goes, you know, I just don't want to force her into it. Like, I'm the one who broke her heart. I'm trying to be respectful of that. Like, I'm trying to. And Angela is like,
oh, yeah, I saw that scene. He was like, I'm trying to repair what I broke last time, or something like that.
Yeah, like, he's just trying to be really, like, understanding of her and, like, take it at her speed, which I appreciate that they're not rushing this storyline and rushing them getting back together and acting like Sergeant was the only thing keeping them apart, because it was not. Okay, it was not. But yeah. And then Nolan, my little king, has gone full detective mode, because Oscar has, okay. So Oscar, I explained to Oscar Lord to you last time, right? The guy that stabbed Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he escaped with Bailey's ex, Jason. And he's been, Nolan is trying to figure out where he is, because, like, he wants Oscar out. Like, he wants him away. Like, obviously. And, like, Oscar's, like, kind of his arch nemesis, kind of. Like, he's kind of, like, Nolan's Doug Judy, but, like, not to that extent. Like, Doug Judy wasn't committing violent crimes.
No, Oscar is. Nolan, what's Selena's boyfriend's name again?
Raj.
Raj is Nolan's Doug Judy.
Okay, yes, that's more accurate. But, like, this is his, like, arch nemesis. Like, what's that one serial killer that, Jake is, like, convinced? He's like, oh, this is the work of Johnny Franzia. Yeah, like, this is Nolan's Johnny Franzia. So, and Bailey's like,
oh, like the one that he had been trying to catch since he joined the force?
Yes, that one. And so, like, Bailey walks in and she's like, do you just have this, like, suspicious board out whenever I leave the house? And he's like, no, like, just whenever I get new information. So Bailey's like, oh, what's this new information? And he's like, so Oscar was part of, like, this 3-man team that stole a ton of diamonds, like $10 million worth, I think, in the 90s. And two of the people from this team got caught, right? One of them did not. Oscar did not. The other two did. And so Oscar, and one of the guys was found dead. And so Nolan thinks that Oscar is going after the other one to get the diamonds, because the diamonds, he thinks, are, like, buried somewhere in the desert where they were, like, caught, right? And so Nolan goes to Gray, and Gray is like, your idea is crazy, but you know what? I'll back you up. Like, I'll let you, you can take Nyla. And so they go, and there's this kid, like, they're there, and they, like, see the guy that, like, they think Oscar is going after. And then there's this kid with a drone, and this kid is just flying around. He's being silly Billy. And then also, okay, so I'm probably going to get off order now. Oh, and then also, okay, so also, Miles and Tim are out on patrol, and they get attached to this call, and this guy is, like, running from having just robbed a bank, and he has, like, all the money's flying out, and he's, like, clearly out of breath. They get him, and he's, like, they're, like, what are you, like, they're interrogating, like, Angela is, and she's, like, what did you rob this bank for? And he's, like, oh, like, my online girlfriend needs money for a heart transplant. And they're like, okay. Like, and he's like, she has this really rare condition, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, yeah, she has this really rare condition where her blood type changes randomly. And Angela is like, so King, I hate to tell you, but that's, like, not a thing. And he's like, oh, my wife is going to be so mad about this. And Angela's like, your wife? So then this wife gets brought in, and she's like, are you kidding me? This man is dumb enough to rob a bank because he believes his online girlfriend has a made-up disorder? And Angela's like, yeah. And she's like, the girl's like, what would you do? And Angela's like, I mean, I would change the locks and file for a divorce, but that's just me. And so the lady's like, I think I'll do that. Thank you. And she, like, walks away. And also, okay. So I feel like I'm missing. So, like, also all throughout, like, this episode, like, all throughout this, like, these scenes, like, scenes are interwoven of, like, Nyla and Nolan, like, just trying to, like, do their little desert thing. They're at this, like, shady motel. So they're just trying to figure out, like, they're just, like, keeping watch pretty much. And this drone kid is here. And so then also Miles and Tim have a conversation, and Miles is, like, talking about dating in LA, and Tim is like, it's the worst, because Miles is single. He had a girlfriend when he came on the show, but they broke up. And so Selena, at the start of the episode, was trying to help him figure out his profile, but Tim was being pissy because Tim is single and he is pissed about it. And so Miles is, like, asking Tim about it for advice. He's like, okay, King, like, and Tim is like, it's the worst, blah, blah, blah. Like, King, you've had successful relationships in LA. Like, only one of yours has ended that, like, super badly. And you're friends with one of your exes. Don't act like you struggled. Like, you're fine. Miles is like, oh, I just need advice, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, talking to you is like talking to, like, he used some, like, weird metaphor, and he's like, I don't know how Lucy did it. Like, essentially saying that he's hard to talk to. And then he's like, I don't know how Lucy did it. And Tim stops the car and is like, excuse me, I think you forgot the power dynamic. I'm your TO. Like, I can boot you for any reason, and disrespect is at the top of my list. And Miles is like, I'm so, like, he immediately knows he hit a nerve, and he's like, I'm so sorry, like, it won't happen again, sir, blah, blah, blah. Tim is like, good. And then Miles, like, there's a scene later with them, and Miles, so, he, like, gets Tim, like, a Coke, and then he goes, like, he's walking back in the car as Tim, like, is about, okay, so, like, the next scene, Lucy cannot sleep in her apartment, it's too loud, and so she is about to call Tim, and then it, like, oh, like, text him, and then it switches over. And Tim is, like, about to text her, but then Miles gets in the car. And also, first of all, Miles is like, I wasn't interrupting a call or anything, was I? And Tim is like, no, like, I'll tell you if you are. Like, okay, King, clock him. And then Miles goes, here's the, like, your Coke. And then he's like, they had those omens that you like, so I got you them. Like, bro felt so bad for pissing him off. That he got him almonds. And then So finally Nolan is like watching, and then the guy who like they're after arrives, and like the dude that they think Oscar's gonna kill, he arrives. And so then we flash to Oscar like looking, and he sees the guy, and then he's like, oh, like, you know, prison wasn't kind to you, blah, blah, blah. And then he looks over and he sees Nolan, and he's like, oh, the gang's all here. So then it flashes. It's the shift change. So, Lucy is like talking to Selena about how she didn't get any sleep. And then she notices, Miles's cardigan, and she goes, oh, this is cute. And Tim goes, oh, Boot has a date. And Miles is like, oh, any advice? And, Lucy goes, well, what did Tim say? And Tim is like, and Miles is like, he told me to keep my expectations low. And Lucy and Tim are just like eyeing each other this whole time. Like they are like, it's heavy eye contact. And, Lucy's like, is it the first date? And he goes, yeah. And she's like, just focus on her, like get to know her. Like, you know. And he's like, thanks. And Selena notices Tim and Lucy eyeing each other. And she goes, Miles, I have something to show you. Come on. And so she, like, walks him out of the room. Like, walks him away from the elevator. And then Tim is like, Tim is like, you know, I would love to have some time to catch up. You're off Wednesday, right? And Lucy's like, yeah, I am. Like, and then Lucy's team, like the dream team, comes by and they're like, oh, Sergeant Chen, like so ready for today, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, oh, I have to go. And he goes, what about Wednesday? And she goes, Wednesday works. So then Miles goes on his little date. And Miles is suspicious because, like, I don't know. Like, at first he's really excited. And Miles is a little gentleman. Like, he pulls out her seat. He's, like, all cutie. But he's suspicious. So he then goes in the back room of, like, this restaurant, and he calls Selena. Bro, also, I don't hate Raj. Okay, don't get me wrong. I don't hate Raj. I think Miles and Selena are going to get together. I do. It feels like it's leading up
to that. I've seen stuff about that on TikTok.
Because it's giving very, like, I've seen so many edits where it's like, fresh at the summer, you know who my first call will be too. And it's like him calling her because she calls him. Like, she runs a background check for him on this girl. And as she's doing it, she finds out that she's a part of this Eastern Front, which Eastern Front is, like, this gang that they put a bunch of their members of, like, leaders in jail. So they're pissed at the LAPD, specifically.
Is it kind of like Southern Front from this season?
Yes. One? Yes, from this season, yeah. And so I don't know why they didn't just keep the same gang and have them be, like, an overlying, like, villain. Like, I feel like that would have been good, but they didn't. And so, as she's saying this, she goes, Miles, you're in trouble. And then he sees the guys, like, the Eastern Front guys out back, and he goes, I'm in trouble. And so he, like, turns around and runs, and the girl's trying to, like, fake innocence when he sees her. Like, she's like, oh, like, why are you? And he's like, no. So he gets in his car, and then Selena, because she's a worried little, I don't know, she calls Lucy immediately. And Lucy's like, aren't you supposed to be sleeping? And she's like, I almost was, but then Miles called me. And Miles called me, and she, like, tells Lucy what's happening. So then Lucy calls Miles and is like, okay, like, let's figure this out. So they get them. She's like, turn right over here. Get them into this area away from civilians. So they trap these guys in there. Like, they're shooting at Miles this whole time. His truck is, like, destroyed. And then Lucy's, like, the dream team. Like, she drives by her sleeping, like, team. And she's like, get up. Get your asses in gear. Like, officer's in danger. So they then get up, and they're actually being helpful. Like, they help get the guys, like, into the area. And Miles, like, they save Miles. And Miles is like, oh, like, my team. Like, shout out your team. Pretty much. And she's like, yeah, they did good work. Well, then Bailey, we're back at the motel. Bailey calls Nolan and is like, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And is like, why aren't you, like, basically is like, you should tell Nyla, because Nyla's sleeping, and she's like, why don't you switch off with Nyla? And he's like, I think she needs some uninterrupted sleep, blah, blah, blah. So then Bailey's like, okay, just go get yourself some caffeine. And he, like, sees a vending machine. He's like, okay. And so he says goodbye to Bailey, and he goes out to get this. Goes to the vending machine. And that is when Oscar kidnaps him. He tases him and then puts him in the back of his car.
He kidnaps him again?
Yeah.
Wait, so that was that the end of the finale?
No. Oh, there's more. we find out, we open up on Oscar singing Hit Me With Your Best Shot really loudly, and Nolan is pounding on, like, the like trunk, and he goes, John, you know this, driver picks the music, and, like, is just being, like, sassy. And so they get to the spot where the diamonds are. Like, okay, so this is, okay, I don't know if, okay, it's kind of gory, but John stole his, like, ex-accomplice's arm because it had a tattoo. Like, he killed the guy, and then he got his arm. And then that has, like, a tattoo to wear the... No, Oscar did. Oscar did. Did I
say John? You said John. You said John.
Okay, sorry. I meant Oscar. Oh, my gosh. Oscar killed... Oscar, no, John would not dare. So Oscar killed the guy, like, his accomplice, and he cut off his arm because it had, like, a tattoo to where it was supposed to go. So he gets the, he, like, is lead help trying to have John help him, and John's like, okay, bro, just take a picture and leave the arm, okay? That's not, and John is, and Oscar's like, okay. But then Nyla wakes up and realizes that John is gone, so she calls in, like, all the cavalry, calls in, like, FBI, everyone. And then she sees the drone kid. Like, his drone has, like, a really good camera. And he's, like, to his mom, is, like, could you please, like, can he please come with me really quick? I promise, like, I won't let anything happen to him. I just need him and his drone. And the mom's, like, hesitant, but then she's, like, okay. So this kid is, like, so excited to be helping out on a police investigation. He's honestly one of the best parts of this episode. He's so silly. And so he's, like, flying his little drone around. Oscar's, like, having, like, Oscar figures out where the treasure is. He's having John, like, dig it up. And John's like, how'd you escape prison? And Oscar's like, that was Monica. She wants, like, informants. And John is like, okay. And then he's about to shoot John. And he's like, you know, I can make this quick and plain this, or I could go after Bailey and blah, blah, blah. Essentially saying, like, John, just let me, like, just, like, be done with this. Let me kill you. It's all over. I won't go after Bailey or anything. But, like, as this happens, the drone kid finally spots John. And he goes, he, like, shows Nyla. And he's like, is this guy about to shoot your partner? And Nyla goes, yes, run the drone into him. Like, fly the drone into him as fast as you can. And this kid goes, am I going to get in trouble? And she goes, no, you'll be a hero. Fly the drone into him. And so he does that. And John is saved. But Oscar escapes in a helicopter. And so then we're getting back. Lucy Chen walking into her apartment after night shift. And who is in her apartment but one Mr. Tim Bradford? And she goes, like, I know him hallucinating. He goes, she goes, I know. Yes. He goes, she goes, I know you're hallucinating. I know
how he starts. Tired. I love how he still has a key.
She goes, I know I'm tired to the point of hallucinations, but you are not my roommate. And he goes, oh, Selena let me in before, work. Which I doubt Selena did. I'm pretty sure this man just had a key. Or if Selena did, you know she made fun of him. Like, you know he walked up to the door and was knocking, and she's like, Tim, what are you doing here? And he's like, and she's like, was asking him questions, I'm sure. But this man has cooked her so much food. And not only is it so much food, but it is callbacks to important episodes. So she's like chocolate croissants, which I don't know Lucy's connection to chocolate croissants. But there are veggie burgers, which at after DOD and when she's in the hospital, she goes, you know what I'm really hungry for? And he goes, veggie burgers with fries, extra pickles. And so he made her that pancakes, which, as we recall, is what he was making Tamara in that like episode when Isabel comes. Like, he's making pancakes for them. And then also a sea bass. He says there's a sea bass in the oven, which is what Lucy ordered on their first date. And she goes, "This is so great. I won't have to cook for a week." And he goes, go sit down on the couch. Let me finish up here. And she's like looking at him like so suspiciously, but also like, I'm so in love with this man. And so she takes her little chocolate croissant and she goes, sit on the couch. And he's like, Yapasaurus. Like, he's being a little yap yap. And he's like, "You know, I've been thinking about this, like, through all the hookups and, like, the conversations about what might happen after you make Sergeant." And he's like, "You know, I've really been putting in the work." And, like, at first, Lucy is, like, responding. Like, we don't see Lucy's face, but, like, she's responding, like, you know, being like, "Mm-hmm, yeah," I mean, like, stuff like that. But then she stops just as he starts yapping about how he's putting in work to himself and how he's making all these changes for himself. And then he goes, and like, I went to therapy to figure out like why I did what I did to you, and I know why now. And he goes, "If we're gonna get back together, I think we should take the next step, and I think you should move in with me." And he's walking over to the couch as he says this, and she is passed out. Which, it's so cute that she wasn't able to fall asleep the whole episode, but the second Tim is there, her defenses are down, and she's passed out in, like, 2 seconds. And he goes to himself, "Good try." And then he puts her, puts a blanket over her, he kisses her forehead, and he says, "To be continued." And then, also, we got a conclusion to the catfish storyline that I mentioned earlier. So what had happened was... they tracked their, so tech, like the IT guys, they tracked the woman's IP address to try to figure out who it was that was catfishing this guy, okay? Like the guy that stole the money, you know? And they figured out that the IP address was in his house. So they're like, if nobody else has access, Angela's like, is interrogating the wife. And she's like, if nobody else has access to it, and your husband didn't catfish himself, obviously, it was you. And this woman, like, starts freaking out. She's like, "He doesn't pay attention to me. Like, I'm like, blah, blah, blah." And it's like, clearly, I don't know. And she's like, so then she gets arrested as well. And then, like, she walks out. And Wesley's like, Wesley had been watching the interrogation. And he's like, "I guess this is a good time to confirm that you're not hiding anything from me." And Angela goes, "Are you kidding? Of course not." And then she goes, "I know you wouldn't hide anything from me." and then Wesley goes, I guess this is like a good of a time as any, like, I guess he's like, and then he's like, "I think this is like, we should take this as a sign that we should like focus on our relationship for a little bit though. Like, I think we need to like reconnect as a couple." So like, hopefully more World Pass content next season. Then Gray walks in and he's like, "Homeland Security has called a meeting tomorrow morning, first thing." And they're like, "Okay, what do they need us here for?" And so then it flashes to like the meeting and like the Homeland Security guy, he's there. And then John is there and Angela and Wesley walk up to him and are like, "What are you doing here?" And he's like, "I think it has something to do with my intel with like Oscar and everything." And they're like trying to piece together what's happening. And then the guy starts talking and he's like, "Okay," like the Homeland Security. He's like, "Okay, I didn't want to do this, but it came down to Homeland Security or giving this person an immunity deal because she has a bunch of secrets and like all the like government departments decided that it was best to give her the immunity deal to protect like this top secret information and like, and Nolan's like, "What is it?" And they're like, "We can't reveal it, blah, blah, blah." And then Wesley starts putting the pieces together in his head. And he goes, he's like, "You are not talking about who I think you're talking about." And John and Angela look at him like, "Who?" And then Miss Monica walks through that door. heels all strutting, and she goes, "Did you miss me?" Like, girl, I did not. So it ends like that. So, okay, that kind of like perfectly leads into predictions for next season. So, I think Bailey is going to be facing like legal trouble because she's done some shady stuff to get her ex Jason. Like, she's essentially responsible for him being dead. She tried to get a hitman. And I don't think she was ever properly charged. So I think
Does Nolan know about that?
Yes, he does. But he's been protecting her. So I think she's going to get charged with something because Monica is there. I think she's facing trouble. Also, somebody, it was like a writer, said something about the rookie going international, like them traveling. So I think that could be something involved with the Monica Oscar situation. Oscar has gone international. They have to go get him. Or we're getting a Chenford elopement, which that's a Delulu theory. But I could see it. But I also think, I think Lucy is going to say yes to moving in with Tim. And I think Miles and Selena. Miles currently lives by Smitty in his like little van because Miles could not find an apartment. And so I think Miles is going to move in with Selena. And that either starts something or just like strengthens their friendship, one of the two.
Is Selena still a rookie?
No, Selena's a P2. She's been a P2 for a second there. But I don't think she's getting promoted anytime soon. Like, I don't think she's been there long enough that she's getting promoted to like TO or is taking the detective or the sergeant's exam. I don't think that's happening quite yet. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's happening. Because
don't they have to be like a P3 to be a TO?
Yeah, I think she has to wait a little bit longer to like figure everything out. Like, she's definitely a really good cop, but I don't think I can see her getting. I could see her maybe getting promoted like next season, like discussions of it, but like right now, yeah. But also I think next season, I'm pretty sure Miles is going to also graduate to being a P2, which should be super exciting. What else? Miles. Yeah, so I think we're getting Chenford back together. I don't know in what capacity. I'm pretty sure Lucy's going to move in with him, but like I'm debating whether or not it's going to be marriage next season. Now, okay. So, unfortunately, guys.
Or they could have like a whole season-long engagement.
Okay, here's my thing. Because, okay, could be like, so guys, I don't know. I could see that.
They could do like a time. Okay. They could do like a time skip and of the like and reveal that they've been living together and they've been together this whole time. And then maybe like in the season premiere, he like proposes to Lucy, and then that the season finale is when they get married.
Okay, that would be
that's cute. Very Delulu. That's very Delulu.
But, it like, is, I like it but I could see that. And also, okay, so guys, this is unfortunately the last time I will be recapping a rookie episode until January, because Grays and 911 are good. They have their little far premiere in the bag. But the rookie, I'm so excited. I'm going to watch 911 so that I can recap.
Boo.
With Allie.
Boo.
Boo. But no rookie until January. Boo. So we're going to have to wait for 8 months to figure out if Miss Lucy
by the time rookie comes back along, we can do recaps together because I'll be all caught up.
Yes. Oh my God. That's actually so exciting though. And I'm excited for season 8. I'm just worried that I think they're gonna get renewed at least for season 9 because it's like really popping off right now. But yeah, that is my rookie recap for the week.
Do you have any more predictions?
I think that's about it. I think, yeah. And oh, and I think that Lucy's going to get back up to today shift.
Mm-hmm. I think her that she's going to. Her and Timmy Tim can work can together again.
Yeah, they can be little co-sergeants. My babies.
Like she could be a she could be a TO, but she could also be a sergeant.
People keep being like, I cannot wait for the day that Gray goes Sergeant Bradford into my office and both Lucy and Tim walk up and like start like that's gonna be a scene eventually, and I'm so excited for my babies. I'm excited in general, but yeah, that's my prediction.
Okay. Well, we have a very exciting episode next week because we will be in person together. And our plan from what we've talked about next week is we're going to do a whole episode talking about similarities of Buddy and Chinford and how they're the same couple.
Yes. Yes, that was our plan, and I think that's a great plan. Yeah. I like that plan.
But I'm very excited.
Me too.
I know Ari's very excited. I have pasta waiting for me. But
yummy.
Do you have anything else to say? I'm very excited for next week.
No, I'm just so hyped.
I'm gonna miss our shows.
Yeah, I'm gonna feel a void this week because I'm gonna be bored, and also, y'all, I have jury duty, so I'm gonna be so bored without my TV, but it's fine. I started watching The Pit with my mom, so that's gonna be what we're doing, and then
we could do an episode about The Pit.
Yes, once I finish it, we can definitely do one over the summer, and I think I'm gonna start 911 because I have to clean my room. Like, I have to, like, clean it. It's a pigsty. So, I have to, like, organize it some more. So, I think I might turn on 911 while I'm doing that to, like, hold me accountable for doing work. So, that's going to be the plan. But, yeah, I'm so excited for next week.
Okay, I think that's it. Bye, everyone.
Bye.